I'm Dr. Beth Mollison.
And I'm Dr. Alyssa Watson.
And you are listening to the Veterinary Break Room podcast, where Dr. Alyssa and I talk about kind of informal topics in veterinary medicine and basically just share all of our opinions on certain topics. So today we're going to be talking about the idea of whether or not in your practice, your clients or your patients stick with a specific doctor, or if you are more of a clinic that does the free-for-all method, as I like to call it, or maybe a little bit of both. So one of the reasons we wanted to talk about this is our last podcast episode that you can check out was about non-compete clauses. And within that, it kind of came up or got us thinking about, you know, how attached do your clients get to you? Are they following you around town if you leave the hospital into the next town? Or are your clients and patients used to having a little bit of a bond or exposure with all of the vets in the clinic? So I wanted to kind of start off and see what Dr. Alyssa has experienced in her practice, what kind of the going model is. Dr. Alyssa, do you guys stick with the same doctor, or what's your plan?
So I think for one of the things, I have worked at a couple different practices. Unlike I know you, Dr. Beth, have stuck with a practice for over 10 years. You're very loyal. I have worked in a couple different practices in kind of, you know, some urban areas, both in Reno, Nevada, and then now currently in Las Vegas. And so I think that makes a really big difference too. You know, where are you practicing? How big is your practice? You know, because there's a really big difference between two veterinarians and 10 veterinarians. Sure. And so I haven't worked in a practice that's quite as big as that, but I did work in a practice that had, you know, five or six veterinarians, you know, that were on staff. And in those instances, I do think that I would hear a lot from clients about frustrations surrounding non-continuity, you know, and never mm-hmm. knowing who they were going to see. And so obviously if there's only two of you at the practice, it's really quite a bit easier to stick with the same doctor all the time. Although sure. there are some times where as a doctor, I have discouraged people from doing that because I don't want them to only be comfortable with me because I can't be there all the time, you know? Sure. And so sometimes that puts a little pressure on me as the doctor that, you know, while I think that it's very flattering, you know, it's an honor to be able to serve people and for them to, you know, trust me with their pet's care. I really take that very seriously. At the same time, I don't like hearing, "We won't see anybody but you."
It's a lot of pressure.
It is. It is a lot of pressure. I don't know. How do you feel?
Yeah, I feel somewhat similarly. So yes, like you said, I've been at the same practice for over 10 years in varying capacity. Was there full time, of course, for a long time, and then have worked part time to varying schedules over the last maybe 5 years. And even though I've been at the same place the whole time, we have changed our protocols several times. So believe it or not, when I first started, we didn't even have appointments scheduled to a certain doctor. So there was just like this lump of appointments on the schedule. And it was a little bit of like, whoever gets done first, you know, however it worked out with the schedule was who you would see. So there were, of course, circumstances where we still would have a client that's requested a specific doctor and when we would make that happen. And then there were periods in time where our goal was to have every patient assigned a specific doctor, even if they hadn't requested that. We kind of were trying to divvy everybody up because we felt like at the time that that's what provided the best care. And then, of course, everywhere in between that, where I think, you know, a significant amount of the time we have clients that were just looking for different things. So some clients that wanted a specific doctor, others that didn't. So I feel like I've experienced a little bit of the full gamut, which is kind of nice because I feel like I do have some feelings about this one. But yeah, so let's dive into that. I definitely want to cover kind of what we think the pros are and what we think the cons are. And I know everyone, you know, feels maybe a little bit differently. And I think there's different pros for clients and patients as there are for clinics. So of course, I think when we talk about having a specific doctor assigned to you, of course, the major pro to me is fairly obvious, where that client and that patient get to know the doctor very well and vice versa, which I think can sometimes improve, you know, client satisfaction when they have that strong bond. I think sometimes it can improve, or it seems like it could improve, medical outcomes when there is that strong bond and you know the ins and outs of a patient that well. The other thing I was thinking about this last night, Alyssa, do you feel like pets care if they've seen the same doctor every time? Like, do you feel like that is a pro or a con? I was like, maybe it's a con, because if they know you're the doctor, then maybe they form a negative relationship. Maybe it's good to switch it up. But anyway, I want to hear from you your thoughts on that.
I had not thought of that until you just brought it up. But it is another thing I hear from clients. I do. I hear this from clients. You know, I think we all get the he doesn't like men, or he prefers women, or doesn't like women. I don't hear that one as much. but I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's out there. I have heard that before too, that, you know, where clients have at least said they felt their dog or cat felt more comfortable with a particular person, you know, and not mm-hmm. just a doctor, a particular, you know, support staff,
too.
Technician,
Absolutely.
You know, licensed technician. They're like, oh, please, can we see, you know, this licensed technician because my dog trusts her. So
yes, I love that. For some reason, that makes me very happy, because I feel like sometimes, you know, the techs are our greatest liaison to knowing a patient. Sometimes I feel like they remember the faces in these dogs in these cases sometimes better than I do. So yeah, we've had that situation too. And I do feel like, you know, I think, of course, we can talk about downsides too, which maybe we'll just mix these in here. I think on the flip side of building that strong relationship comes the moment that that vet is not in the office. And then suddenly, sure, it's great that there's a vet out there that knows your pet that well, but it's at the expense of the fact that the vet that's there today has never met your pet, mm-hmm. doesn't know you, doesn't know its temperament or the medical case.
Right. Or has never met you, you know, and mm-hmm. I know that I have heard from clients that there is frustration in that as well, especially if their animal has a really complicated medical history, to feel like they have to start from scratch and explain that all over, even though this is technically what they consider their vet, you know?
Right. Yes, exactly. And I think that's almost best case scenario, where the pet owner recognizes that they need to, you know, start from scratch. Say it's a dog that you're working up for a chronic illness and pet needs to be seen that day. The primary vet isn't there. And then that pet owner, of course, maybe recognizes that it's not enough for the vet just to hold the medical chart. You know, that doesn't always give you the nuances that you need to really understand the case. And so, of course, that client is left repeating the medical history. But I feel like one of my biggest annoyances with this is those clients that come and they're like, oh, we don't care what doctor we see, but we certainly expect whatever doctor we do see to know every single thing about our pet and to know about this case. And we're unwilling to help them. And we act like they haven't done their preparation when they, you know, maybe miss a small nuance of the case. And that is one of my biggest frustrations, is when clients would prefer to schedule based on their own flexibility, and they mm-hmm. like that they can come anytime. There's always going to be a doctor for them, but then they don't understand that that comes with the con of not having that, you know, just not having the benefits of maybe sticking with one doctor.
Yeah, that's a really good point that maybe we need to kind of emphasize a little bit to clients. Yes, we want to work with you and be flexible with your schedule, but that means that you may be seeing somebody else for your recheck, and that, you know, you might need to put in a little more work in order to make that happen.
Right. A little more work, maybe expect, you know, a different conversation than you mm-hmm. would otherwise. I think another, you know, tying this back to our non-compete discussion, Alyssa, I thought it was really interesting because when we were looking through kind of the pros and cons of non-compete and how they help veterinary practices, or maybe how they harm the hiring process or whatnot. The veterinary business advisors actually suggest that practices rotate clients through all of the veterinarians to kind of build that commitment to the practice rather than the commitment just to one doctor. So I thought that was really interesting to see someone acknowledge that, you know, sticking with a primary doctor does have negatives and it can make them just bonded to a single doctor when maybe the goal overall, maybe what would be more beneficial for the patient would be to be bonded more to the practice itself. And it reminded me of, for anybody that's had a baby in the OBGYN office with more than one doctor, how they kind of make you schedule. I don't know if you experienced that, Alyssa, but they make you schedule with each doctor so that you have exposure to each doctor. And again, day of your birth, you're not like, who is this person? Where's my doctor?
Yep. Actually, to tell you the truth, I kind of wish that my OBGYN did do that because they did not.
Really?
And with my first baby, I had preterm labor and a C-section in the middle of the night. And it was a doctor I'd never met before. So that was hard. That was hard. Yeah. I kind of wish that I had known everybody in the practice.
But yeah, that is hard. And it is, you know, not to relate the birth of a baby to a pet medical crisis, because obviously there are differences there. But I think it's, you know, the same feeling when you come in for an emergency or heaven forbid your pet needs to be euthanized and you walk in and, you know, have to introduce yourself rather than having that kind of acknowledgement that you've been there before and have at least met each other and under different circumstances, calmer circumstances.
Absolutely. I can think of several situations, you know, over the years too, where clients have come in and, you know, do you ever get that where you walk in and they say the first thing out of someone's mouth is, oh, you're not Dr. X. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
Nope. Yes, I think that is another another con is I think, yes, you kind of set your other doctors up to start behind the, you know, behind the eight ball when they're trying to handle the case. And there's already that little bit of animosity maybe between the pet owner and the other vet. The other thing, too, I feel like I dealt with this because I have worked for several years as a part-time doctor. And I felt that very strongly where I kind of almost hated when people did get attached because then, especially if it was a pet that had a lot of medical needs that I knew was going to be in when I wasn't there. And then suddenly you feel like that case is, you know, they're very attached to you. You're the one primarily managing the case, but you know, inevitably that the other doctors are going to have to get roped in and have to try to get caught up to speed. So I think sometimes there's no clear win-win pathway. Cause at the same token, I know we've had like, say for example, an Addisonian patient that we encouraged to find a primary doctor so that their care could be kind of followed once a month with the same doctor. And they kind of preferred the flexibility of scheduling whenever they wanted to. And then of course, that's just a tough case to pass month to month. If you're doing more than just, you know, those like cortal injections or whatever, pass that case month to month without any consistency. You know, I find that challenging too. So I don't know that there's always a right answer.
I don't think that there is always a right answer. I feel like it is a fine line. You're walking this fine line between building a relationship and trust with the client, because that's another thing. And, you know, I know you had looked at least trying to get a little data on this and some statistics, and we weren't able to find any. But we definitely hear over and over that communication is really key when we're looking at things like litigation or board complaints or negative outcomes. And so having that relationship and being able to communicate, I do think you build that over time with someone. And then to have another doctor step in, you know, that's a place where it's such a fine line. You want them to be able to speak with everyone and feel comfortable with everyone in the practice, but you still want that continuity of care. And then I feel like if, you know, in those instances, like you said, where you have an emergency or maybe something didn't go well, you know, a surgical complication or something, you can step in and say, hey, we have this relationship. You've known me for years, you know.
Right.
And I think that can help clients better understand, you know, and maybe not jump to something like a board complaint or
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at like a medical mistake from the perspective of a client, and if it's a medical mistake that has happened, you know, under the guidance of a vet that you have known and trusted for 5 years versus a doctor that was practicing on your pet that, you know, you dropped off in the morning mm-hmm. and you've never set eyes on the doctor, I think even though that doctor is just as qualified and knowledgeable, you know, as you are from the client perspective, I think those are two totally different situations. So certainly you can empathize with that side of thing in those situations as well. So, and the other thing as we were looking into this that I was thinking about, Alyssa, was I believe it very, you know, when we talk about the veterinary client patient relationship, of course, not only is that something that we talk about more from a humanistic standpoint of how bonded do we feel to each other, but also from a legal standpoint of, you know, can we refill medications for these other pets? Maybe there's a dog that has primarily seen one doctor in the practice. And I, again, tried to get clear answers. I believe it varies by state, kind of what the exact rules are, as far as can another doctor in that practice, you know, prescribe medication or offer a refill. And so I know we've run into that issue a little mm-hmm. bit where, of course, the pet has zero doses of medication left and they need a refill and their primary doctor's not there.
Right, exactly. And I do, it does definitely vary by state. You need to check your practice act. And it varies depending on, you know, what medications you're prescribing too, because I think in different states, specifically controlled substances need to, you know, I know there are several, I know several veterinarians that even if it's not, technically illegal, they will not prescribe controlled sure. substances to an animal that they have not laid hands on.
Yeah, that makes sense. Even just the, like you said, comfort level of the practitioner themselves is different if you have zero relationship. So yeah, lots of pros and cons. I think, again, my irritation comes from the fact that, and maybe this is just what I've experienced, but I feel like at least in my experience, it seems to be that everyone emphasizes the benefits of having a specific doctor and like, oh, there's just nothing better than that relationship. It provides the best care for the pet. So I always like to point out that maybe there are some cons to that side. And especially in this climate of how busy veterinarians are, mm-hmm. you know, trying to make a schedule that's efficient, just getting the pet, sometimes getting the pet seen by any doctor is a challenge in this climate. So interesting things to think about.
Yeah, it really is. It's funny. It kind of brings us to our win of the week because it's just very ironic. So I was in clinic a couple weeks ago and I had I'm not in clinic very often these days, but I actually had 2 days in a row. And so that was not very usual for me, but I was so excited that I had 2 days in a row because then I could follow up on cases that I had seen the day before.
Right. That's
and
great.
Talk, mm-hmm. yep, and call people and talk to people. I didn't have to, you know, check in, call people from home or something, you right. know? And so that continuity was there. And then I also had my very first 3 appointments on the first day that I was in clinic were long-term patients that had actually followed me from another hospital earlier on and everything. And so I was like, it was so nice to see those people, but it's just very ironic after we had this discussion today.
Yeah, that's right. To see those, I know there is nothing better than seeing the patient that you've known for mm-hmm. 10 years for different life stages.
Yeah.
My one of the week this week, Alyssa, is not clinic related. And I actually don't know why I'm bringing this up to you because you live in Vegas. And so whenever we try to talk about weather, we just don't see eye to eye. I'm stuck in Ohio and I just can't help but celebrate the fact that I looked at the ground on my walk yesterday and we have little things are trying to bloom.
Oh, they're
which
they're...
usually happens. Well, I mean, I don't know why I'm celebrating. It's still February, but usually in February, we do start to see some of the bulbs grow. Mm-hmm. And as someone who hates winter weather and has self-diagnosed seasonal depression, that's just the best sign that I ever could have seen after we're probably only halfway through winter, but it's felt like a very long winter. So that's going to be my one of the week is the fact that I can smell spring around the corner.
It's coming. It's right there.
I can see it. Yes, yeah. It's coming.
That's funny. So. After we get off today, I'm throwing everything into the suitcases and we're heading up to Big Bear, do some snowboarding. But see, I just leave it and then I come back. So
I, well, that's what I'm very jealous of your situation there, Alyssa. So I'm very happy for you. Anyway, thank you all for joining our conversation today, and we will talk with you all soon. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Veterinary Break Room. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, including a video version on YouTube. While you're there, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can also listen to or watch our podcast episodes on our website at cliniciansbrief.com/podcasts, or drop us a line at podcasts@briefmedia.com. Veterinary Break Room is a Brief Media production produced by Alexis Ussery and co-hosted by Dr. Alyssa Watson and Dr. Beth Mollison.